Which are fat, divine nature and individual.
Son Tekwa, Chegim, Son Hangmin, Kogyar Song.
Uri has come to accept and act upon these values.
Have and obey sacred covenants.
And enjoy the blessings of exaltation. Welcome to the General Young Women Meeting of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints on this beautiful evening. We have looked forward to participating with you, steadfast youth, in this meeting, seeing your bright faces and feeling your great spirits. President Thomas S. Monson, who presides at this meeting, has asked that I conduct. I am Sister Susan W. Tanner. We are honored to have our beloved prophet, President Thomas S. Monson, in attendance this evening, as well as President Henry B. Irene, first counselor in the first presidency, and President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, second counselor in the first presidency. We also acknowledge Elders Russell M. Nelson and David A. Bednar of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, and Elder Bruce C. Hafen of the 70. Also on the stand are Sisters Elaine S. Dalton, first counselor in the Young Women General Presidency, and Mary N. Cook, second counselor in the Young Women General Presidency. We appreciate the sisterhood and support of the Relief Society General Presidency, the primary General Presidency, and members of the Young Women General Board who are present with us. Thank you to all of you who are in attendance or who are participating by other means. The music for this meeting will be by a choir comprised of young women from the Cache Valley, Utah North area, under the direction of Marilee Webb with Bonnie Goodliffe at the organ. The choir will now open the meeting with the hymn, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. The invocation will then be offered by Miranda Cooney, a Laurel in the Park City, Utah stake.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this opportunity we have to gather together as young women in thy gospel throughout the world. We are so grateful for those who have prepared words for us tonight and ask that thy spirit be with them. We are so grateful for this gospel and for the strength and the power it gives us. Please be with us tonight and always. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
It will now be my pleasure to address you. Following my remarks, the choir will sing "I'm Trying to Be Like Jesus" with Helen McGar, a Laurel from the Linden, Utah Central Stake, on the flute. As I stand at this pulpit, I picture the faces of young women all over the world. How I love you. I especially love to promise with you that we will stand as witnesses of God at all times and in all things and in all places. How can we do this? As I speak, I pray that the Spirit will guide us and testify to each of us as to how we can stand as witnesses for God. When our children were missionaries, they learned that when we stand as a witness of Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost will confirm that testimony. One of our daughters had a golden investigator named Jaylay. This young adult woman obeyed each new commandment she was taught, no matter how difficult. She was a student struggling to make ends meet financially, but she began paying her tithing when she learned about that law. Her part-time job required her to work on Sunday, but she had the courage to ask her employer if he could change her hours to another day so that she could attend sacrament meeting. In spite of her diligence, Jaylay still did not have a firm testimony of the Book of Mormon. Our daughter and her companion knew that she needed a witness from the Spirit to confirm its truth, so they prepared a lesson for her about the Holy Ghost. As they worked on it, somehow it didn't feel quite right. When they prayed about it, they felt impressed to go a different direction, to give a lesson instead about Jesus Christ. When the appointed meeting came, these missionaries began teaching Jaylay about Jesus Christ. Tears started streaming down her cheeks. She kept asking, "What is this I am feeling?" Then they bore witness to her that it was the Spirit. Exactly what they had wanted to have happen did happen. It was then that our daughter remembered that one of the great roles of the Holy Ghost is as a testifier of Christ. Jesus himself said, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, shall testify of me." Our daughter realized that as she stood as a witness of Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost confirmed it. We too can stand as witnesses as we talk of Christ, we rejoice in Christ, we preach of Christ, and look to him as the source for a remission of our sins. Righteous King Benjamin in the Book of Mormon gathered his people to come to the temple so that he could talk of Christ and preach of Christ. He taught his people about the Lord's goodness, power, wisdom, patience, and most of all, atonement. As he stood as a witness, the Spirit bore witness to them that Jesus Christ is the Savior, as it had to Jaylay. King Benjamin then admonished his people to stand steadfast in their faith in Christ. The people all cried out, "We believe all the words which thou hast spoken unto us because of the Spirit of the Lord, which has wrought a mighty change in us," or in our hearts, "that we have no more disposition to do evil, but to do good continually. And we are willing to enter into a covenant with our God, to be obedient to his commandments in all things." King Benjamin's people made a covenant to obey his commandments, as has each of us. As you keep that covenant, you will stand as a witness among your peers. Recently, my own children and their spouses were remembering times through the years when they stood for correct values in the face of peer pressure. One would not participate in a cheer competition on Sunday. Another told his employer that he could not work on the Sabbath day. One refused to watch a pornographic movie at a friend's house when he was only 11. Another refused to look with classmates at pornographic magazines. Both were ostracized socially for some time thereafter. Another child refused to succumb to bad, crass, and vulgar language in her work environment. One refused liquor that his friend had stolen out of his parents' locked cabinet. Another, who was the only LDS member in her class, stood to give an English class presentation and ended up fielding questions about the Book of Mormon. Our married children have continued to bear children in the face of worldly criticism. In these moments, they could have felt alone. But as they stood as witnesses, they felt the companionship and sustaining presence of the Holy Ghost. They also were armed with blessings that come from obedience to God's commandments. He has promised us, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." My children were truly upheld by his hand as they witnessed of God by standing steadfast in keeping his commandments. I have been blessed and strengthened by their examples. As you stand as a witness in your home, you will strengthen your families. Too often we think the phrase of the young women theme, to strengthen home and family, applies only to the future responsibilities of young women as wives and mothers. But it also applies to their responsibilities as daughters and sisters in their homes here and now. My own mother helped strengthen her home and family in her youth. The oldest child in a less active family, she was born with the gift of faith. She took herself to primary in Mucho. She qualified for a temple marriage even before her parents were able to go. She became an agent for righteousness, a steadfast witness whose example helped strengthen her parents and siblings. You young women, too, can stand as a witness of God by nurturing a spirit of faith, love, peace, and testimony in your homes now, preparing you to do the same when you establish your own future homes. I am the product of a righteous young woman who stood steadfast and immovable, always abounding in good works. We also witness of Jesus Christ as we rejoice in him. As King Benjamin's people learned more about Jesus, they said, "The things which our king has spoken unto us have brought us to this great knowledge, whereby we do rejoice with such exceedingly great joy." When we rejoice in our Savior, we remember his great blessings to us. We stand as witnesses as we express gratitude and radiate joy. As the young women sang opening this meeting, "Hast thou not seen how all thou needest hath been granted in what he ordaineth?" Recently, I learned of two valiant young women who, as they lived the commandments and radiated the joy of the gospel, stood as witnesses of God. This is their story as told by a senior missionary at the MTC. She said that years earlier, she was at home one day ironing, watching a soap opera and smoking a cigarette when there was a knock at the door. When she opened it, there were two men in white shirts and ties, and one of them introduced himself as her bishop. He said that as he was praying, he had felt inspired to ask her to teach young women. She told him that she had been baptized at age 10, but had never been active. He seemed undeterred as he showed her the manual and explained where they met on Wednesday night. Then she emphatically said, "I can't teach 16-year-olds. I'm inactive, and besides, I smoke." Then he said, "You won't be inactive anymore, and you have until Wednesday to quit smoking." Then he left. She said, "I remember shouting in the air in anger, but then I couldn't resist the urge to read the manual. In fact, I was so curious, I read it from cover to cover and then memorized every word of that lesson. By Wednesday, I was still not going to go, but I found myself driving to church scared to death. I had never been scared of anything before. I had grown up in the slums, been in detention once myself, and rescued my father from the drunk tank. And all of a sudden, there I was at Mutual, being introduced as the new Laurel advisor. I sat before two Laurels and gave the lesson word for word, even the parts that said, "Now ask them." I left immediately after the lesson and cried all the way home. A few days later, there was another knock at the door, and I thought, good, it's the bishop here to retrieve his manual. I opened the door, and standing there were those two lovely Laurels, one with flowers, the other with cookies. They invited me to go to church with them on Sunday, which I did. I liked those girls. They began by teaching me about the church, the ward, the class. They taught me how to sew, read scriptures, and smile. Together, we started teaching the other girls in the class who weren't coming. We taught them wherever we could find them, in cars, bowling alleys, porches. Within 6 months, 14 of them were coming. And in a year, all 16 girls on the rolls were active. We laughed and cried together. We learned to pray, study the gospel, and serve others. These two valiant young women stood as witnesses for truth and righteousness, for goodness and the joy of the gospel. When I was called to be the Young Women General President, I received a blessing in my setting apart that my faith in Jesus Christ would be strengthened through my service. I have been surrounded by valiant women, my counselors and board, other auxiliary presidencies, and my noble predecessors, the former Young Women General Presidents. They have stood as witnesses of Jesus Christ by their exemplary lives and selfless service. Strengthened by these women, my family members, and steadfast and immovable women and leaders the world over, I feel compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. This has helped me to run with patience the race that is set before me, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The promise of increased faith in Jesus Christ in my setting apart blessing has been fulfilled as I have had the opportunity to stand as a witness for Him every day and everywhere. I have talked of Him, preached of Him, and rejoiced in Him. When I have felt that my words were insufficient, they have been confirmed by His Spirit. When I have felt afraid or inadequate, I have been strengthened and upheld by His omnipotent hand. I know He will bless each of us as we stand as witnesses. He will never, no, never, no, never forsake us. May we press forward with steadfast faith in Christ, standing as witnesses of Him at all times and in all things and in all places, is my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Sister Elaine S. Dalton, First Counselor in the Young Women General Presidency, will now speak to us. She will be followed by a video presentation. Following the video, Sister Mary N. Cook, Second Counselor in the Young Women General Presidency, will address us. The choir will then sing "How Firm a Foundation."
It's a privilege to stand before you tonight and bear testimony of the Savior and his matchless life. He came to the earth to show us how to live the plan that was authored in heaven, a plan that, if lived, will make us happy. His example showed us the way to return home to our Heavenly Father. No other who has ever lived has been so steadfast and immovable. He was never distracted. He was focused on carrying out the will of the Father, and he remained true to his divine mission. Indeed, it can be said of him, he was true at all times and in all things and in all places. You are part of that wondrous plan that was presented in the premortal realms. Your coming to the earth now has been anticipated since the plan was accepted. Your position in time and place is no accident. Your exceeding faith and good works then has laid the foundation for what you may accomplish now if you are faithful and obedient. You are God's precious daughters, and you have a great work to do. In order to accomplish your divine mission and live the plan of happiness, you too must be steadfast and immovable at all times and in all things and in all places. Several years ago, I was given a photograph of three sheds, two of which were leaning on the third and smallest shed. The accompanying caption read, "You need to be strong when you are the last one to take a stand." You too need to be strong. As you are faithful and righteous, others will look to you for support and strength. Helaman describes how this is possible. "And now remember that it is upon the rock of our Redeemer, who is Christ, the Son of God, that ye must build your foundation, which is a sure foundation, a foundation whereon, if men build, they cannot fall." Your foundation of faith must be firmly centered on Jesus Christ. Having that kind of faith means you rely on him, you trust in him, and even though you don't understand all things, you know that he does. You also know that you are a daughter of God, that he knows you by name, that he hears your prayers, and that he will help you accomplish your earthly mission. A young man I know well was elected to be a student body officer at a large university. The university sent him to a leadership seminar where student leaders from across the United States gathered in Chicago, Illinois, to be trained and educated. They participated in an initial game outdoors on the college campus so that they could become acquainted with each other. The students were presented with current issues facing today's youth and were asked to take a position. In response to the issue presented, they were directed to run to several trees in the grassy area marked "strongly agree," "partially agree," "strongly disagree," or "mildly disagree." Toward the end of this exercise, the leader asked, "Do you believe in premarital sex?" Without hesitation, this young man ran to the tree marked "strongly disagree." To his amazement, he was the only one there. All the other student leaders were laughing and pointing at him and saying, "Oh, Jess, you are so funny. We all know you're not really serious." At that moment, Jess said he knew exactly what he must do, and so he loudly declared, "I'm not funny. I am serious." There was a stunned silence, and then the group dispersed, leaving Jess standing alone by the tree. He felt out of place, and yes, weird. But he wasn't weird. He was right, and he was not alone. During that week, many of the student leaders came to him privately and said that they wished they had known years earlier what he knew, Jess later said, "It was easy because I knew I represented not only the university, but my family, the church, and the Savior." A testimony that Jesus Christ is the Savior and Redeemer made Jess firm and quick to respond. You can gain that same confidence as you pray daily, search for answers in the Scriptures, and obey the commandments. As you sincerely seek to gain a testimony, the knowledge that will come through the Holy Ghost will assist you with your challenges, with questions, and with living the standards. And it will be easy for you also to commit to be steadfast and immovable at all times and in all things and in all places. Being steadfast and immovable means being obedient. One of the reasons you are here on the earth is to see if you will exercise your agency and do all things whatsoever the Lord shall command. When you renew your covenants each week by partaking of the sacrament, you covenant that you will always remember the Savior and keep His commandments. The precious gift of your body enables you to exercise your agency and put your faith and obedience into action. Have you ever noticed that nearly all of Satan's attacks are directed at your body? Pornography, immodesty, tattoos, immorality, drug abuse, and addictions are all efforts to take possession of this precious gift. This was a gift that was denied Satan. Obedience to the commandments and standards enables each of you to be steadfast and immovable in protecting the precious gifts of your agency and your body. Being steadfast and immovable also means that you keep moving forward with a steadfastness in Christ. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to run the Boston Marathon. I had trained hard and felt that I was prepared. But at mile 20, there are hills. The locals call the steepest and longest hill Heartbreak Hill. When I reached that point, I was physically spent. The hill was long, and because I was a novice, I allowed myself to do something no seasoned runner ever does. I started to think negatively. This slowed my pace, so I tried to think positively and visualize the finish line. But as I did this, I suddenly realized that I was in a big city. There were thousands of people lining the route, and I had not made any arrangements to locate my husband at the end of the marathon. I felt lost and alone, and I started to cry. I was wearing a big red t-shirt with the word Utah printed on the front in big block letters. As the spectators saw that I was crying, they would yell, "Keep going, Utah! Don't cry, Utah! You're almost finished, Utah!" But I knew I wasn't, and I was lost. I also knew that even if I stopped running and dropped out of the race, I would still be lost. Do any of you ever feel like you're running up Heartbreak Hill, and that even though there are people lining the route, you are alone? That's how I felt. So I did what every one of you would do. I began to pray right there on that marathon route. I told Heavenly Father that I was alone and that I was on a hill. I told Him that I was discouraged and afraid and felt lost. I asked for help and strength to be steadfast and finish the race. As I continued to run, these words came into my mind. "Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed. For I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand." That sweet answer to my prayer gave me the strength to continue on until I crossed the finish line. And despite my fears, my husband was right there, and all was well. That day, I experienced more than a marathon. I learned some important lessons. First of all, never wear a big red t-shirt with the words Utah printed on it. Second, I learned that no matter how well prepared you think you are, there are hills on the course. I learned that people cheering for you along the way are absolutely essential. And I learned again that day that we are never alone. Our Heavenly Father is only a prayer away, and the Holy Ghost is within whispering distance. I testify that as you stand as a witness, obey the commandments, and press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, you will never be alone. You can rely on the enabling power of the Savior's atonement. And I testify that building on that firm foundation will help you become like Him, steadfast and immovable at all times, in all things, and in all places. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Last summer, our young women had a burning question. They wanted to know what the official position of the church was relative to swimsuits. Rather than give them an answer that we were inclined to give them ourselves, we determined that we'd be wiser as their leaders to turn them to the source. They could ask. They could find out for themselves and have a process and an understanding of how it feels and how it works to seek and to get information from heaven personally so that they could replicate that process later in their lives.
When we first started out, I just thought, well, okay, it's just another assignment to take home and study on.
This experience has helped me come closer to Heavenly Father.
It'll help me too when I'm older with my own daughters. As soon as I started really searching for the answer, it came really quickly.
As we looked at this from a doctrinal point of view, there was no more fundamental source than the Scriptures.
At first, I really tried to find the answer in the Scriptures, and it didn't seem to be there. But as I got deeper into the subject, I felt myself wanting to learn more and find out more. I kept on finding all these scriptures about modesty, like a virtuous woman is modest, and at first that didn't make sense to me. And then prayer, I was kind of expecting specific answers through prayer, and I wasn't getting them. And then as I realized, like after I got my answer, I realized that prayer just brought the Spirit, and that the scriptures did have the answer all along, that it was more of an attitude.
I've gotten some answers, but they weren't very specific, of course, because I always have to do my part and learn for myself.
And I was expecting to be told, like, this is what you can wear, this is what you can't wear, because I didn't want it to be like that, because then it was my choice, and I didn't have the exact rules. But I actually am really grateful now that that is the answer that I got, because I think that's much more applicable to all the girls around the world. I just felt myself becoming closer to my Heavenly Father, and my heart just grew, and especially with these girls, you know, finding out, you know, everything that they went through to find their answers just made my heart swell for all of them. Like, I have so much love for all of them.
As we engaged in this process together and shared our hearts and received inspiration and felt the effect of the Spirit, we became something different. They learned that Heavenly Father cares about what they care about. They learned that He loves them. They learn that whatever they ask, He'll listen and He'll answer.
I think through this process, I've kind of realized that getting answers is not just a once-in-a-lifetime thing, that it's something that I can use all the time. And in order to get those answers, I have to be steadfast in saying my prayers and in reading my scriptures and continuously keep that Spirit with me.
I can pray to Him whenever I need to. And He is there for me no matter what. He is always by me, and He is always, you know, helping me through every situation.
Whenever I feel sad or whenever I need help, I can always ask Him. And
I know who I am, and I know what I stand for, and I know how I feel when I wear the right kind of clothing, and I know that if I dress modestly that I can be closer to my Heavenly Father and closer to the Spirit.
It's an amazing realization when you look back, like through my journal, and to find out that almost every day I've had prayers and answered, and my questions answered through the Lord.
We can find truth in the Scriptures, the teachings of the prophets, the instructions from our parents, and the inspiration that comes to us as we bend our knees and seek the help of God. Sometimes the best answers that young people can get to the questions of life are found when they are upon their knees, calling upon our Heavenly Father. And I testify that if they will remember that the Lord is mindful of them and will answer their prayers, they will be able to meet every challenge that comes to them.
When I lived in Asia, I saw many ponds covered with beautiful flowering water lilies. They added a serene beauty and sweet fragrance to otherwise muddy, stagnant ponds. The leaves of the water lily floated on the water's surface, and a long, firm stalk anchored its position in the pond. The continued growth of the stalk ensured the flower's stability, even when torrential rains raised the level of the water in the pond. My dear young sisters, you are much like this beautiful flower. Your freshness, purity, and beauty add much goodness to our lives and to the lives of your family. You live in a challenging world, polluted with temptations and trials, yet your testimony of Jesus Christ can be your anchor. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will strengthen and help your testimony grow, and you will be able to rise above the evils of the world and maintain your position of righteousness. An anchor is defined as something that provides stability or confidence in an otherwise uncertain situation. Your testimony will be your anchor and will give you the confidence to stand steadfast and immovable in keeping the Lord's commandments in an uncertain world. Right now, your testimony is growing like the stalk of the water lily. Your faith will help it grow and keep it strong even when you face challenges and temptations of a polluted world. Faith is a gift from God, but you must nurture your faith to keep it strong. You can nurture the gift of faith by praying to Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ. You can strengthen your faith by keeping the commandments. You can also develop your faith by studying the scriptures and words of Latter-day prophets. The young women we saw tonight who had questions about modesty nurtured their faith as they followed this exact pattern. They prayed to Heavenly Father. They studied the scriptures and the words of our Latter-day prophets. And they were obedient in living the standard of modesty. As they received answers to their questions, their faith increased and their testimonies were strengthened. I would invite each of you to follow this pattern. First, pray to your Heavenly Father. Ask Him for help in finding answers to your questions. Our prophet, President Thomas S. Monson, said in his first news conference, quote, "Sometimes the best answers that young people can get to the questions of life are found there upon their knees, calling upon our Heavenly Father. If they will remember that the Lord is mindful of them and will answer their prayers, they will be able to meet every challenge that comes to them." Close quote. Prayer will strengthen your faith and anchor your testimony. In addition to prayer, study the scriptures about faith. Alma chapter 32, verse 27 is a great place to begin learning the process of increasing your faith. "But behold, if ye will awake and arouse your faculties, even to an experiment upon my words, and exercise a particle of faith, yea, even if ye can no more than desire to believe, let this desire work in you, even until ye believe in a manner that ye can give place for a portion of my words." Are you willing to try Alma's experiment to increase your faith? Can you exercise even a particle of faith? Do you have a desire to believe? As you learn from the scriptures, I know the Lord will bless you with His Spirit. And like the young women we heard from tonight, your understanding will be enlightened. The scriptures will increase your faith and help anchor your testimony. Study the words of our Latter-day prophets. It will also increase your faith. You can always trust the living prophets. Their teachings reflect the will of the Lord and will help anchor your testimony. President Spencer W. Kimball, one of our Latter-day prophets, counseled youth to drive down stakes to help them be steadfast and immovable when he taught, "Our young people should drive down stakes early. The stakes are of two kinds, this I will do and this I will not do. Very early, youth should have been living by a plan. When such a course is charted and the goal is set, it is easier to resist the many temptations and to say no to the first cigarette, no to the first drink, no to the first improper advances, which lead eventually to immoral practices." Close quote. We have a great tool to help us drive down those stakes. It is For the Strength of Youth. In this little book, you will find the words of our Latter-day prophets. The stakes that President Kimball described are in this book, the things I will do and the things I will not do. It's not enough, however, to just read the words of the prophets. You must follow the final step in our pattern and keep these standards and live by the truths in the scriptures. This is the challenging part, but by planning ahead what you will and will not do, and then living by that plan, you can do it. Faith is a principle of action. Let me tell you about some young women who studied the words of the prophets in For the Strength of Youth, then took action. They made a plan, decided what they would and would not do, and then lived by that plan. One of the guidelines in For the Strength of Youth states, through your dress and appearance, you can show the Lord that you know how precious your body is. You can show that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. After studying these words, one of the young women in the class you saw tonight realized that perhaps some of her clothes were not completely modest. Through prayer and study of the scriptures, she was reminded that she was a disciple of Jesus Christ, and that as his representative, she needed to make some changes. She didn't want to have anything in her wardrobe that was a temptation, so she went through her closet and drawers and got rid of anything that wasn't modest. She said, "I would be smart if I didn't even try on anything in stores that I knew I shouldn't wear. Why be tempted?" That firm resolve showed the Lord that she respected her body, and she drove down a deep stake on modesty. Another young woman in the class recognized that her choices in clothing were affecting the way her little sister was dressing. A line in For the Strength of Youth states, "Your dress and grooming send messages about you to others and influence the way you and others act." She decided to make some changes in her clothing, realizing that she had a responsibility to be a good example to her little sister. She drove her stake down more deeply and influenced her sister's clothing choices. The standard of entertainment and media teaches us to choose only entertainment and media that uplift you. Good entertainment will help you to have good thoughts and make righteous choices. I know of a young woman and her sister who were listening to a CD when they realized that the words were not uplifting and did not help them have good thoughts. They both looked at each other and knew through the Spirit that they shouldn't be listening to this kind of music. The older sister got a hammer, and together they took the CD and they smashed it into bits. Earlier, they had driven down stakes regarding music. They knew what they would and would not listen to and were able to live their plan by following the promptings of the Spirit. This small act strengthened them and gave them confidence to obey in more challenging situations. Another young woman decided that one of the stakes in her life was to observe the Sabbath, regardless of her circumstances. One year after being baptized a member of the church with her family, her ward was divided. Her family was assigned to the newly formed ward, and she was the only young woman who was asked to attend the new ward. Her parents resisted the change and stopped attending church, but she wanted to follow the guidelines and For the Strength of Youth on Sabbath day observance. She decided to go to church in the new ward whenever she could, even though it meant attending all of her meetings alone. On Sundays, she read her scriptures and worked on personal progress. Her decision to be steadfast and immovable in observing the Sabbath encouraged her mother and younger sister to begin attending church again. Her mother testified that her daughter's steadfast example of living the gospel and seeing her goodness helped them return to activity. You express your faith through action by the way you live. The lives of these young women express their faith. And note that their faith and exemplary lives resulted in good works. Sisters blessed sisters, and a daughter helped her mother return to church activity. Some of you may feel that you can't rise above the polluted pond, that your circumstances are too difficult, your trials too hard, your temptations too great. But remember Alma's promise. Whosoever shall put their trust in God shall be supported in their trials and their troubles and their afflictions, and shall be lifted up at the last day. Remember, the stalk of the water lily grows in adversity. And as the stalk lifts the water lily, your faith will support and lift you. My dear young sisters, your testimony of Jesus Christ is your anchor. Strengthen your faith by following this pattern of prayer, study, and obedience to the commandments. Drive down stakes by deciding now what you will and will not do, and then act on your plan. I testify that the Lord loves each of you and will bless you in your efforts to be steadfast and immovable. The gospel of Jesus Christ is true, and your knowledge and testimony of Jesus Christ will keep you well anchored, and you will be able to maintain your position as you stand for truth and righteousness. Of this I humbly testify in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
How far my foundation is of the
Thank you so much for these beautiful messages in word and in music. Our hearts have really been touched. It will now be our privilege to hear from President Henry B. Eyring, First Counselor in the First Presidency. At the conclusion of President Eyring's remarks, this meeting will conclude with the choir and congregation singing, "Press Forward, Saints." The benediction will then be offered by Jennifer Thorup, a laurel in the Salt Lake Monument Park North Stake.
For each of us, life is a journey. Heavenly Father designed it for us out of love. Each of us has unique experiences and characteristics, but our journey began in the same place before we were born into this world. We all were taught by Elohim, the Father of our spirits. We loved him and wanted to be like him and to be with him forever. He told us plainly what it would require for us to have that joy. We would have to receive a physical body with all of the trials that would bring. We would be subject to illness and have within our bodies the processes which would finally lead to death. And our bodies would have in them powerful cravings for physical satisfaction. Heavenly Father explained to us what it would take to make the journey from where we were then to be with him forever and live the life that he lives. We would make the journey through life without a memory of our time with him in the spirit world. And the only way back to him would be for us to overcome physical death and the effects of sin, which would come from our breaking commandments. He told us that we could not overcome the effects of either death or sin by ourselves without our having a Savior who would break the bands of death and provide a way for us to be washed clean from the sin which we would surely commit. You know from the scriptures relieved by God through prophets that there was a rebellion in the spirit world when the plan for our journey was offered to us. Those who rebelled did not want to accept and to depend upon a Savior, nor run any risks that they might not return again to Heavenly Father. Every one of you was among the brave, the faithful, and the true in that conflict. You accepted the Savior and the plan for this journey to return to the joy of our Heavenly Father's presence. You are remarkable, even among those who chose right in the contest in the spirit world. You qualified to come into mortality and to make this journey at a time when the gospel of Jesus Christ was on the earth. And among the billions of Heavenly Father's children now living, you were privileged to find the gospel of Jesus Christ and his true church. Even more than that, the fact that you are listening tonight means that you have chosen to make the journey of life walking in the light. Every child of Heavenly Father born into the world is given at birth as a free gift the light of Christ. You have felt that. It is the sense of what is right and what is wrong and what is true and what is false. That has been with you since your journey in life began. The fact that you were baptized and received the Holy Ghost is evidence that you chose to walk in the light of Christ. When you are confirmed a member of the church, you are given the right to have the Holy Ghost as your companion. The Holy Ghost is a powerful source of light to recognize truth, to follow and love the Lord Jesus Christ, and to find your way back to God after this life. But the Spirit, who led the rebellion in the world before, still opposes the plan and wants you to be miserable. He wants you never to find your way home again. That enemy of your soul knows you and your goodness. He knows that if he can turn you away from walking in the light, he can both capture you and stop you from helping others along the journey. He knows how good you are and your power to teach and influence hundreds of Heavenly Father's children in this life and thousands over the generations that will follow your path. If he can get you to wander on your journey away from the light, he can do harm and bring misery to many. The fact that you are listening now is evidence that God recognizes your great importance and that you have chosen to walk in the light he offers you. Such choices are not always easy to see clearly. You make choices every day and almost every hour that keep you walking in the light or moving away toward darkness. Some of the most important choices are about what you set your heart upon. There are so many things you may consider desirable. For instance, all of us want to some degree the approval of other people. All of us feel a need for friends. All of us are searching for some evidence that we are persons of worth. We make choices based on those desires. Some might lead us away from the light God offers us as a guide. Some may brighten that light by which we can find our way. As I look back, I realize that I was unaware of the importance of some of those desires and choices. I don't look like it now, but I wanted then to be selected for athletic teams. I wanted to do well in school. I wanted to find good and true friends. And when I made the choices that came from those desires, more than I realized, I was either moving away from the light or towards it. Some of my achievements and some of my friends were major factors in my sensing light. Others, more than I knew at the time, were edging me away from the light. In important and long-lasting ways, choices I made to satisfy my desires for companionship and a sense of recognition were taking me either toward or away from the light to guide my path. Long ago, Heavenly Father, through his prophets, gave us a way to know which choices matter most and why and how to make them. The best summary I know is in the words in Moroni as he quotes his father Mormon. I only wish I had understood them better when I was your age, and I pray that the Lord will carry them into your heart tonight. Here are the words. But behold, that which is of God inviteth and enticeth to do good continually, wherefore everything which inviteth and enticeth to do good and to love God and to serve him is inspired of God. Wherefore, take heed, my beloved brethren, that you do not judge that which is evil to be of God, or that which is good and of God to be of the devil. For behold, my brethren, it is given unto you to judge, that ye may know good from evil. And the way to judge is as plain, that you may know with a perfect knowledge as the daylight is from the dark night. The scriptures tell us the source and the power of the light. For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man that he may know good from evil. Wherefore I show unto you the way to judge. for everything which inviteth to do good, and to persuade to believe in Christ, is sent forth by the power and gift of Christ. Wherefore you may know with a perfect knowledge it is of God. But whatsoever thing persuadeth men to do evil, and believe not in Christ, and deny him, and serve not God, then ye may know with a perfect knowledge it is of the devil. For after this manner doth the devil work, for he persuadeth no man to do good, no, not one, neither do his angels, neither do they who subject themselves unto him. I can see now, better than I could as a young man, how I might have used that guidance. There were sports teams that had players and coaches who influenced me to do good. There were some that did not. There were friends, some of them not members of the Church of Jesus Christ, who by their example influenced me to do good and to remember the Savior. There were schoolmates and teachers whose approval and friendship I sought, who somehow made me want to do good and enhance my feelings for the Savior. Oh, I was blessed to find my way. But I would have done even better had I understood both the importance of my choices and the way to choose. Mormon knew that. Had I read more carefully his words in the Book of Mormon and others like them, I would have been even more blessed and more protected. Here are Mormon's words. Seeing that ye know the light by which ye may judge, which light is the light of Christ. See that you do not judge wrongfully. For with that same judgment which ye judge, ye shall also be judged. Wherefore, ye should search diligently in the light of Christ, that ye may know good from evil. And if ye will lay hold upon every good thing and condemn it not, ye certainly will be a child of Christ. And now, how is it possible that ye can lay hold upon every good thing? It is by faith that you can lay hold upon every good thing. I pray with all my heart that your faith will be increased, that you are a daughter of a loving God. I testify to you that you have been one of the valiant ones to reach the point where you now are in this journey of life. Just as you are marked as a target by the enemy of righteousness, you have been protected and watched over by your Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. They know you. They know all of the forces and individuals around you. They know what is ahead of you. And so they know which of the choices you make, which of the desires you decide to satisfy, and which of the circumstances around you will make the most difference in keeping you walking in the light. I testify by the Spirit of Christ and by the Holy Ghost, you may walk confidently in whatever difficulties will come. Because you are so valuable, some of your trials may be severe. You need never be discouraged or afraid. The way through difficulties has always been prepared for you, and you will find it if you exercise faith. You must have faith to pray. You must have faith to ponder the Word of God. You must have faith to do those things and go to those places which invite the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Ghost. I promise you that within the next few days, you will feel the illumination of the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Ghost in your everyday life. When you walk in the light, you will feel at that moment some of the warmth and the happiness that will finally be yours when you are welcomed home again. With the hundreds and perhaps thousands of others who you will bring with you, who have walked in the light because you did. This is the true Church of Jesus Christ. There is a living prophet, Thomas S. Monson, and there are both true servants and angels to help you along the lighted path. I so testify in the sacred name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank thee so much for this beautiful evening and for the loving counsel we've received from our young women's leaders and our beloved present Irene. Please bless that we may be able to remember their words and the spirit we felt this night. Please bless that we may be able to stand as witnesses of thee and be able to be examples to the world. Father, we are so grateful to be thy daughters, and please bless that we may never forget our great divine nature. Father, please bless us with love and kindness, and also bless us with courage to choose the right always. We love thee very much and are so grateful for all that thou hast done for us, and we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.